Good afternoon. Welcome to High Point Bible Study. I'm going to start a couple of minutes early and try to get you out a couple of minutes early. I noticed the elevators weren't as cooperative last week as they have been, and so we'll try to get you out on time. If you know anybody who is missing an apologetic study Bible, all right, this was left up here two or three weeks ago, and so it doesn't have a name in it, it doesn't have any identification, but if you know of anyone that has mentioned, you know, I wonder what I did with my apologetic study Bible. Well, there it is. We've got it for you. Today we're going to talk about fasting. And you go, well, that's kind of funny. You're serving barbecue on a day you're talking about fasting. Well, you can't practice everything and study everything at the same time, you know. We could talk about generosity. I'm not going to take an offering. We could talk, you know, on and on it goes. And so today we're going to talk about prayer and fasting. But we're not going to necessarily fast today. This is preparation for in the future. I was sitting with one of my friends and heroes, John Sorensen. He's the president of Evangelism Explosion. And he travels all over the country. And a lot of it is like eating the gospel bird. You know, he has fried chicken and gravy and potatoes and banquet meals and donor meals and all kinds of stuff. He's eating all the time. And so once a year, He has a 40-day fast. And the way I found out about that was I was at the Prison Evangelism Explosion banquet, donor banquet in Sarasota, Florida about 2 years ago. And I mean, they just put out a spread. There was cheesecake and filet mignon and a shrimp appetizer. And I noticed John wasn't eating anything. And I said, so John, what's going on? You know, you're not hungry tonight? And he goes, no, this is my annual 40-day fast. And I said, wow. I said, that's quite a commitment, 40 days. I said, how does that work? And he said, well, I just drink water, and sometimes I have some tea or coffee with a little bit of sugar to keep my blood sugar up. But he said, no solid foods for 40 days. He said, I'm in the last week of it. I said, how much have you lost? And he said, about 37 pounds so far. And I thought, wow, that is incredibly committed. I said, where did you get such an idea? And he talked about a well-known Christian leader of another ministry who has an annual 40-day fast. And he said, I got the idea from him, and it just really gripped my heart, and I wanted to do it. Well, he got finished with it. I saw him at the next board meeting. I said, you know, he gave me some good feedback. I mean, spiritually, it was great. But he said, you know, I was kind of disappointed because I met a man from this man's ministry, the man that got me started, the one who got me inspired to do a 40-day fast. And I said, you know, I just wanted to tell you how much that meant to me. He goes, well, John, how do you do that fast? He goes, well, it's water and tea and a little bit of coffee and no solid foods for 40 days. He said, John, my boss keeps a blender under his desk, and anything that's liquid is fair game for him. If he can put a Big Mac into that blender, that's a part of the fast. And so it was like a shock to my friend. He goes, oh, my soul, I've been doing water and tea, and he's been eating Big Macs. So sometimes fasting, I mean, it has to be a conviction from the Lord. It can't be something that's imposed upon you. We're going to talk about some just hows and whys and wherefores today. But when we think of fasting, we immediately think of food. But I want to give you a video that kind of enlarges that scope. Jesus said, if anyone would come after me, let him first deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. So what does self-denial look like? Let's look at the video.
I really want to answer this call. Oh. And then after that, make a few texts, update my Facebook status, tweet about it, shop for a deal on a new laptop, write on my blog about the experience of shopping for a new laptop, tweet about blogging about the experience of shopping for a new laptop. And even though my brain and my flesh are demanding that I play with this thing, I'm not. Not because it's bad, not because I can't live without it, but I'm stepping back from this beautiful little piece of technology. I'm taking the time that I would have spent on that, and I'm spending it on my relationship with Christ instead. Yes, I'm talking about fasting. And I know what you're thinking. Why'd you have to go there? Isn't that a bit extreme? And I get it. I really do. But truth be told, if it was so important to Jesus, it's got to be important for us. I mean, the dude didn't just fast. He went into the desert and slept with coyotes and snakes and didn't eat anything for 40 days. I get agitated when my pillow gets lumpy. Can I just confess something to you? I am all about me, and I hate that. I want to be all about Him. I want His will for my life. And if that means giving up a phone or a few meals, some TV, in order to get closer to the God of the universe who daily showers me with grace and love and holds me in His hands, what a small price to pay. I'm ready to take the focus off of me.
All right, fasting. You know, it's not like a celebration kind of thing. It's not the kind of thing that you have a great number of people that want to come and study about. In fact, Jesus said in Matthew 6, and I think maybe on some of the material it says Matthew 5. It's actually Matthew 6, 16 through 18. Jesus said, whenever you fast, now let's think about that for a second. Fasting was a part of the Jewish culture. He didn't have to convince them to fast. It's whenever you fast. It's a big deal. It was just like tithes and offerings. That was a part of their culture. Worship, sacrifice, part of their culture. Whenever you fast, he said, don't be sad-faced like the hypocrites. Now, he says hypocrites, meaning Pharisees, some of the religious leaders. And what they would do is everybody knew that everybody was supposed to fast. These guys would literally put powder on their face to make themselves look paler. They would have a long face. They would, anyone that asked them out to lunch, they'd say, oh, no, I'm fasting. I can't have lunch with you, you sinner. They would let everybody know what was going on. So whenever you fast, don't be sad-faced like the hypocrites, for they make their faces unattractive. So their fasting is obvious to people. In other words, the whole thing is about a show. I assure you, Jesus said, they have their reward. But when you fast, put oil on your head. Now, anointing a head with oil is a place of celebration. That's what you do for someone special. That's what you do, you know, on their birthday or when they're anointed king or something. But when you fast, put oil on your head, wash your face so that you don't show your fasting to people, but to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Bill Bright, the founder of Campus Crusade for Christ, now called CRU, said that fasting is the spiritual nuclear weapon. It's the spiritual atomic bomb that our Lord has given us to destroy strongholds of evil and usher in a great revival and spiritual harvest around the world. So if it has this kind of innate power, how do we understand it? How do we implement it? And how do we do it? Well, that's what we want to look at in the next 20 minutes or so. On your listening guide, we have number one, why do we fast and pray? It's interesting. I sent this outline to my son. My son, as you know, spent about 5 years in Hong Kong. He was a member of a Korean ethnic church in Hong Kong, and he said, really, the Koreans are the prayer shock troops of the Christian army around the world. These folks really, really believe in prayer and fasting. And so he learned a lot about fasting as a part of this Korean church in Hong Kong. They started every year with, I think it's 2 or 3 weeks of fasting, the whole church. And then they had special fasts for special occasions. My son's notes are on the back of your listening guide. He sent me an email. I asked him if I could turn that around into a Word document, and he just printed and handed out to you. And so you have his notes. And he said, one of my surprises when I began sharing and teaching about fasting was the overwhelming portion of the questions were about the how of fasting and not the why. He said, initially, I expected everyone just didn't have the confidence to fast. But it seems like they lacked the practical wisdom, and maybe they feared what they didn't know. So he said, I usually talk about the distinctions in fasting, the how of fasting. So I'm not going to spend a lot of time on the why. We understand in the Bible that every great spiritual leader, it points out at some time in their life, and I say every, but most of the big names that you would recognize, I'll call some of their names in a little bit, but most of them had a time of prayer and fasting. And it just seems to be, well, of course they did. You know, I mean, that seems to be the biblical approach. Of course, when they're serious about something, they've got a big decision, they're going to fast. So the why is pretty obvious. A, in your listening guide, prayer and fasting resets our priorities. In Tyler's notes on the back, he compares abiding in Christ to riding an airplane. And he said, when you get into the airplane, you make that decision, I'm going to put my full faith and confidence in this airplane. And once you get in the airplane, you have no control about staying aloft. You give up that control. You put the control in the hands of the airplane pilot and the airplane. And he said the same thing is in abiding in Christ. It's where do we get our significance? Where do we get our security? We get them either from worldly things or we get them from Jesus Christ. How many times do we actually have a meal, but the meal is more about significance or security than it is about just meeting your daily needs? I had a guy that, he was a blue-collar guy. He was not all that refined. He really kind of worked by the hour kind of thing, but he wanted to take me out to lunch one day. And I said, sure. And I thought we were probably going to go to Taco Bell. You know, I didn't know where we were going to go. He took me to a steak and ale that was down from the church, and when we walked in, and he wasn't dressed nicely or anything. He was just in work clothes. But we walked in, and they said, the hostess called him by name and said, do you want your usual table? I realized, okay, this is a place of significance for him. He works with his hands. He gets dirty every day. Probably a lot of people tell him what to do. But he can walk into this steak and ale, and all of a sudden, he's somebody. Now, sometimes food becomes that significance for us. I've had a hard day. I want this hostess cupcake. You know, I deserve this, you know. It becomes a place of security for us. My dad, in his later years, he kind of developed a roll of fat around there, which he jokingly called his money belt. Well, he grew up in the Depression, and that was security that if he missed a meal, he wasn't going to die. So prayer and fasting resets our priorities. We're not going to a meal for security and significance. We are putting Christ first in our life, as the video mentioned. Secondly, prayer and fasting sharpens our focus. Sharpens our focus. I'm studying a book now called The Four Disciplines of Execution. It's a Harvard Business School book. It's not a spiritual book. It's not like I'm saying everybody needs to run out and get this book. It's by Chris McChesney and Sean Covey. And one of the concepts that came out early, they said you can come out with wonderful goals and wonderful strategy, and they can immediately get lost in the whirlwind of busyness. And I thought, you know, that's really true. you sit back and you think and you strategize, this is what I want to be, but then you report for work on Monday morning and it's, okay, I got to do this and this report's due and I've got to return this email, and it's the whirlwind of busyness. Fasting really sharpens our focus that I'm going to deny the physical and I'm going to put my attention on God. It's like every time I have a hunger pain, if it's food fasting, every time I have a hunger pain, I'm going to think, okay, what can I pray to God? How can I focus my attention on God? And as the video said, there's all kinds of fast. There's electronics fast. I have a friend that's a big Texas A&M fan. So he fasts from sports TV. But I notice he always does it in the spring, not during football season, you know. Carrie Shook, who's a pastor of Fellowship of the Woodlands, published a very popular book called The 40 Days of Purpose. And it's fasting combined with prayer, combined with strategizing, kind of getting a life plan going. And it's almost like Lent. What are you going to give up during this 40 days of purpose? What's your fast going to be? And I'm like a chocolateholic. I absolutely love chocolate. I saw a T-shirt one time. It says, "Give me chocolate and no one gets hurt." You know. So I mean, I'm really big into chocolate. My daughter-in-law Lauren is a big runner. Now I hate running. She hates chocolate. And so when we were talking about this 40 days of purpose, I said, "Lauren, why don't you give up chocolate? I'll give up running. Seems like it works out fine with God. I mean, it's the same to him, right?" No, it's not. Unless someone deny himself, herself, take up their cross and follow me. So it sharpens our focus on God. Thirdly, prayer and fasting keeps us from just checking the box. And to be quite honest, fasting can be checking the box too. So I'm not saying this is the end-all, cure-all. But I am saying that oftentimes we get in this whirlwind of busyness. And so we do our quiet time in the morning. We read our Bible. We pray. We read our proverb or we read our psalm. We go to church on Sunday. We do all these things. We have, electronic giving. Everything has a process in our lives. And sometimes, instead of a relationship, it's really just a religion. We're just kind of being like a Buddhist or a whatever. You know, we're just kind of going through, checking a box, doing our thing. But there was an interesting article. You can look it up on Google. I've printed some copies of it over there on the table if you want to get it on your way out. And it's published by Crew, and it's on fasting, and one of the reasons for fasting is that we want to develop discipline in our lives. A lot of times we just want to give in to carnal appetites. We just, I'm tired, I deserve this, I'm going to X. I'm going to eat, I'm going to watch TV, I'm just going to veg out, I'm going to go see a movie. Fasting develops discipline. I'm quoting from the article here. An important benefit of fasting is that it promotes self-control by disciplining our bodies. When we say no to our natural appetite for food, we develop the willpower and discipline to say no to other fleshly desires. So if you have a besetting sin, whether that's uncontrolled spending with credit cards or pornography or whatever the besetting sin is, you just can't seem to master it. A time of prayer and fasting can help discipline you in one area that has a carryover effect to the other. So prayer and fasting keeps us from just checking the box. Fourthly, prayer and fasting promotes thanksgiving. Oftentimes in America, we are religious as Christians about giving thanks for our food. But are we really thankful for our food? I mean, it's kind of like rub-a-dub-dub, thanks for the grub, yay God. I mean, we do that before every meal. But do we ever really contemplate the idea that we may not have a meal or we may not be able to eat that day? And fasting reminds us that our body craves that. And so it helps us to be truly thankful for things that we take for granted, first world problems. And then number five, prayer and fasting are honored by God with unique power. Again, Bill Bright calls it the spiritual atomic bomb of Christianity. And we'll look at some examples of that in the Bible. So the why is it's really taken for granted by Jesus that we're going to do it. Okay? Then let's look at the how. And this is where Tyler said that he really tries to give more content. The motive, there are 92 passages in the Bible about fasting. Moses fasted, Elijah fasted, Esther fasted, Nehemiah fasted, Daniel fasted. Obviously, Jesus fasted 40 days in the wilderness, and Paul fasted. We, if nothing more than to emulate great people of the Bible, men and women, we ought to really consider fasting. What's our method? Well, in the passage we're talking about, it's not just for public commendation. Now, there are, my pastor called our church to a Daniel fast, which was the first, it's like the second week in January, and we talked about down here a little bit about that. You can go online, Daniel fast. The big controversy in our church is, does that exclude coffee or does that include coffee? You know, that was the big issue. A Daniel fast is, there are a lot of reasons people partake and fast other than for spiritual reasons. A lot of people do it for health reasons. A lot of people do it for a, Tyler said there's a difference between a cleanse and a fast. And so you have to understand, what do you want to accomplish during this time in order to get the right method? I'll never forget, I'd just gotten out of seminary, moved to Oklahoma. My pastor, my boss, said, you need to know that we have a very powerful deacon that's over the area that you're going to be over now, and he doesn't like the fact that we hired you. He wanted a full-time minister of evangelism, and we've hired you as a minister of youth slash evangelism, and he thinks you're going to be full-time youth and not much on evangelism. So my pastor looked me right in the eye. He says, you've got to impress this guy. You've got to really win him over. So how do you do that? You take him out to eat, right? So on the very first day, we're going to have our first evangelism class. I meet him I-35 north up by Frontier City outside of Oklahoma City, kind of halfway where he lived in Edmond and where I lived in Del City. We met at a Holiday Inn. I sat down. I'm going to buy this guy's lunch. I'm going to impress him. I get the Trencherman's platter. That is like a half-pound hamburger, an order of fries, a side salad, and a large drink. Okay, she turned to him and said, and Mr. Harris, what will you have today? He goes, oh, this is our evangelism day. I always fast. Well, that was kind of a non-starter for that meal. Let me just say, I did not impress him that day. I often get the question, did you eat your meal? I ate every bite of it. You know, I wasn't going to be intimidated by that, which it was obviously a pretty big power move. But we have to understand our purpose, and then we have to understand how we go about doing it. Now, let's look again to that note that Tyler put on the back, because he gives some really practical things here. He said, you have to make a distinction between a cleanse and a fast. The cleanse is maybe the absence of food, but fasting means to close the mouth or not to eat. So he said his rule is, it's the same as the guy with the blender under his desk, if it blends, it counts. So he said, just keep the rule simple for your fast. Either you're going to go for a short period of time, 100% water and tea, or a longer period, I'm just not going to chew it. It's going to be liquid. I'm going to make smoothies. And so they're able to fast. My son and daughter-in-law are able to fast oftentimes a week, 2 weeks. They've done 40 days, but they continue to get nutrients and calories through smoothies. The second paragraph there about the teaspoon of sugar, that's one of the problems a lot of people have in the fast, is their blood sugar drops, they get headaches, and it's not sustainable. It's dangerous health-wise. And if you're listening to this MP3 broadcast on the internet, you know, if you have any doubts about your ability to fast, check with your physician. I'm not just saying a one-size-fits-all here. It's a spiritual thing, but it has physical consequences. And so his thing about if you're going to do a water fast, still put some sugar in there to keep your blood sugar up. He said there are two primary motives that affect my fasting. Number one is cleansing from sin and purity, and that comes from Isaiah 58. We see that in the early church as well. They felt like they had to cleanse their hearts before they asked for something big. Jeremiah 29:13 says, we'll find God when we seek him with all of our hearts. And so this is a time of purity. And then secondly, he says, getting me back on the airplane. And I mentioned that, getting that place of abiding. So you can Google the idea of prayer and fasting and come up with some wonderful articles. You can even get recipes for a Daniel fast. You can get different kinds of fast. But there is certainly spiritual power in the idea of fasting. My pastor gives this testimony. He said, you know, I came to this church, 33 years old, young pastor, never pastored, and it was really not until the second or third or fourth year of my ministry that I really became convicted that I needed to fast one day a week, 1 week a year. You know, he goes on and on, but and he has special fasts during the year, and they take different things. But he said it's during those fasting times that I've made some of the biggest decisions on behalf of our church that's borne the most fruit. He said, you don't have to convince me of the power of fasting. When I focus my attention on God and my stomach reminds me that I'm giving up, I'm denying myself in order to do that, some way, he said, some spiritual way, God interacts in an amazing way. And so what's the mark of fasting? He said, the Father will reward you. The Father will reward you. So the idea of not letting everybody know about it, making it a private thing between you and God, he says, the Father who sees in secret will reward you. So the way we do things is every bit as important as the things we do. You don't fast just to check the box. You don't fast just because you want to impress other people about how holy you are. You fast because you want to tune in to God. I talked to a man at lunch one time, and he had to weigh 300 pounds. I mean, you look at him and you go, this guy is at least 300 pounds. And to my amazement, he began to talk to me about fasting and about how his church promotes fasting more than any other church. And they have 16 scheduled fasts during the year. And the very appearance of the man derided what he was saying. It was a, yeah, we like that in theory, we don't do it in practice. I've had two knee surgeries this year and been flooded by Harvey. I probably need to do a fast for health, but that's not a good reason to do a spiritual fast. Just to want to lose weight, that's almost a selfish motivation. It should be, I really want to get in tune with God. And so number three, in closing, let me give you three things real quickly that we can expect from times of prayer and fasting. Number one is a unique fellowship with the Father. It's really seeking God's face. In the Crew article, it says, the second reason we fast is to respond to God's love toward us. It is as if we're saying to God, because you are righteous and holy and love me enough to send Jesus to die for my sins, I want to get you, I want to get to know you more intimately. On the video, the guy said, how could I not deny myself a simple pleasure for the privilege of communing with the God who created the universe? So it's a unique time of fellowship with the God, with the Father. It's a time of focusing on Him. Secondly, there's an increased focus on spiritual matters. One reason we fast, the Crew article said, is to demonstrate humility. What is 2 Chronicles 7:14? If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray. And we see that a lot in the Old Testament, particularly sackcloth and ashes, visible signs of mourning. We decrease, He increases. So we want to have an increased focus on spiritual matters. Remember the Ninevites, when Jonah went and preached to the Ninevites in Jonah 3, 5, and 10. The city itself, a pagan city, called a fast and repented of their sins. Fasting shows a time of humility and repentance. And thirdly, and it's an expanded knowledge of His word and will. As the video showed, it's not just laying down your cell phone, but it's also picking up God's word. The time you would spend in a meal, you spend praying. The time you would spend eating, you spend reading your Bible. It's an increased, expanded knowledge of His word and His will. Sometimes it is the purpose of asking for something you desire. Ezra proclaimed a fast to ask God to protect the people as they journeyed from Babylon to Jerusalem, or from Persia to Jerusalem. So sometimes it's asking for something you desire. Tyler said he's had a lot of benefit in fasting and praying with yes, no questions. God, do you want me to do X? I want to know. I want to know yes. I want to know no. Yes, no questions. Sometimes it's a matter of something you desire. Sometimes it's just generally knowing God's will. When the Israelites were in conflict with the tribe of Benjamin, they sought God's will through fasting in Judges 20. It said, the men of Israel asked the Lord, shall we go out again and fight against our brother, or shall we stop? It was a yes or no question that they found the answer through fasting. Acts 13, 1 through 3 implies the church leaders were seeking God's direction for their ministry through prayer and fasting prior to sending out Barnabas and Saul in the first missionary journey. So sometimes it's a specific thing, sometimes it's seeking God's will. I started off by talking about my friend John Sorensen. He really went all in with a water, just a liquid fast, for 40 days. But he said there were three issues I wanted to know God's will on, three things I was seeking Him on. And he said, the ironic thing is, he gave me clear direction more than I've ever had before in the first week. So then I had this theological, ethical question. I had promised God 40 days. I've got all the answers I want in the first week. What do I do? And he said, the answer to me was pretty obvious. I was not fasting to get. I was fasting to know God more. And so the last 3 weeks of his fast, that the last of that 40 days or 4 weeks, was simply communing with God. Not wanting something, but simply wanting to know God better. And that's ultimately our desire. Whatsoever you do, in 1 Corinthians 13, whatsoever you do, whether you eat or drink, it's not when, it's whether. It's do all to the glory of God. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for a group that really gives up their lunch hour. They fast from going out with fellowship with coworkers or privacy or getting on their cell phones to come and study your word. Thank you for them. I pray blessings on them. Help us all to know more about this incredibly strategic weapon of fasting and prayer. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. God bless you all. See you next week.